I want you to open your Bibles. Amen. Or your, if you don't have a physical Bible, if you have your online Bible, amen. Just, if you just open your Bible to John chapter 11, verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. Many of us know this story. I know many of us have learned this story probably in Bible school, in kids school, and kids church, right? But I'm praying that the Lord just brings it in a different way tonight, today. Amen? John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. I want you to hear that. This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Let's drop down to verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for days. He declared the word that this sickness will not end in death. And then when we drop down to verse 17, Lazarus is in the tomb. You may be seated. Amen. As a theme of the message, and look at your neighbor. Amen. And tell your neighbor, God stands by his word. God stands by his word. Amen. The meaning of this phrase is when you say that one has stood by their word, you're saying that they will fulfill a specific obligation or promise they made by virtue of their character. However, to say that one stands by their word, it means that they can be relied upon to fulfill a promise when they made. Okay? So it's when someone says, I will stand by my word, it's meaning that they will fulfill the promise that they have spoken. In the summary of the story, Martha and Mary, you have to see their perspective in this situation, right? The Lord, someone came to the Lord. They sent word to Jesus to tell Jesus that his friend Lazarus is sick, right? And then Jesus declares with his word and he says that this sickness will not end in death. Right. And then I'm assuming that the person that told Jesus this message went back and told Mary and Martha, hey, Jesus says it's going to be OK. Don't worry about it. Right. Don't worry about it. It's going to be OK. Your brother's going to be fine. Right. Your brother's going to be OK. But then it just changes. It just shifts. That they received this word that my brother's going to be fine. And all of a sudden now they're mourning for their brother. They're preparing a burial for their brother. So what happens that from the moment that Jesus spoke this word to this moment that now they're burying their brother? It just completely shifted. Is it that Jesus changed his mind? Is it that he wasn't faithful to what he said he was going to do? These are things that happens, right? Amen. You guys are so quiet. Amen. You guys got me more nervous than I am. Believe me, when I'm up here, it's like my nerves are out of whack. So, and then you guys being so quiet, I'm getting jittery a little bit, right? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. Amen. I come from a Pentecostal background, so, you know, I thrive from the amens, hallelujahs, glory to God, and stuff like that. Amen. That's a field for us as preachers, right? Okay. But you got to see that from the moment, and it's from point A and point B, right? Point A is the moment that Jesus released the word. And then point B is when that word is fulfilled, right? Today, I want to be able to focus. I want to focus on the middle part from point A and point B. Because a lot can happen in that middle part, right? In that middle part that when God releases a word to you, he releases a promise to you from point A to point B to get to where that promise is, a lot can happen in the middle part, right? A lot can happen. In that middle part, you can be on, you can have mountain peak moments in your life. In that middle part, you can be having valley moments in your life. A lot can happen. A lot could shift in that middle part of when God speaks a promise, or he speaks or delivers a word over you. A lot can happen in that middle part, right? What else can happen? Doubt can happen. You could start to question God in that middle part. But from point A to point B, you have to be able to know how to trust in his word. You have to trust in it because a lot can happen. The ups and downs can happen in that middle part. But believe me, all those ups and downs, it's all designed to bring you back, bring you to plan, to the point B, to the end. Did you hear me?
Yes.
Good.
Amen.
You heard me. Amen. A lot can happen, but all of that is designed to bring you to point B, to the final destination. My journey from plan A, point A to point B may be different from your journey. There are those that God has spoken a word today, and then tomorrow is fulfilled. But there are those that God has spoken a word today, and you won't see it until 10 years from now. Because everybody's journey is different. Everybody's destination to get to that journey is different. But we have to continue to believe that God stands by his word. He does. He stands by his word. And we have to believe that. Joseph was a great example of this. Before he became governor of Egypt, he had to go through, when he received that word as a dream, when he received the Lord of that word from the Lord, that was point A. For him to get to point B, to that final fulfillment, he had to go through a lot. What he had to go through? Betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit. But all of that took him to where he needed to go, to plan B, to point B. I'm sorry. There's no plan Bs with the Lord. There's only one plan. Right? God don't have no backup plans. God says one thing and that's it. That's how you know I'm a good preacher. I could rebound, right, off of my mistakes, right? 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 So, but you have to be able, you got to know that. Wait, what else happened to him? He went, got thrown into a pit, sold off like a slave, tempted. I was going right there. Yeah, right? He was tempted. He was accused of doing something he never did. Then he got thrown into a prison, but all of that took him to where God wanted him to be. And we have to understand that all your ups and downs, all of it, is going to take you to where God wants you to be. Because all of it is designed. All of it is designed. All of it. God takes all the issues, all of the sum of all things. God will work it for the good of his what? His people. He takes everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he takes all those things. It was like I heard a preacher one time. And he said that God takes the sum of all things, and it's like he puts them in a blender. He puts them in a blender, and he shakes it up, right? All of it. He takes it, he puts it in a blender, he shakes it up until he gets that delicious, I don't know what you guys like to drink, maybe those fruit juices in the morning, those veggie juices and stuff like that. He shakes it up until he gets what he is looking for. That's what he does. All of it is designed to take you to your fulfillment of your promise. Amen? God's word is absolute. What does that mean? Absolute means that it's free from restrictions, free from conditions, something that is perfect, something that is already complete. God, when God speaks a word, it's absolute. When God speaks a word, it's already completed. It's completed, meaning that God is not us, that we're limited by time. He doesn't live in time. He's eternal. So the moment he speaks a word, he's already at the end. Yes. Right? He's already at the end. It is us who have to catch up to where God is. Did you hear that? He's already enjoying the end. He's just waiting. He's just saying, look, I'm here at the end. I spoke the word. Now it's your job to believe in me. Now it's your job to put faith in me. It's your job to reach where I am at the end. Because when he speaks a word, it's already complete. It's already done. So if he gave you a promise, it's already done. It's just your job to reach him at the end. Amen. Why? Because he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning, point A, and he is the end, point B. We're just the ones who's taking the journey in the middle. Are you following me today? Point A, point B. We're in the middle, but we're taking this journey to get to where the Alpha and the Omega. He's at the end already. Amen? God is bound by his own words. When he releases a word, God is bound by his own words. Hebrews 6, 17 and 18. And I took it off the New Living in Translation. God is also bound himself with an oath. It's a vow. So that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he will never change his mind. He is bound by his word. That when he releases something, when he speaks a promise over you, he speaks a word over you, he is saying, I am bound by that word, and I will not change my mind. So God gives both his promise and oath. These two things are unchangeable, church. That's what the word says, is unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. So the moment he speaks a word, and he speaks a promise over you, whether it's over your children, whether it's over your health, whether it's over your finances, whatever it is, if God speaks a word, it's unchangeable. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass because he is bound by his word. God is not one to change his mind. He's not one to lie and tell you one thing today and then something else tomorrow. He's not like that. He's not like us. We do that all the time. Let's be for real. I sometimes do it. I do it. My wife, My wife just be like, she'll say, are you sure? Like 20 times she'll say, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Right? Because it happens, right? But God is not like that. You shouldn't be asking God, God, are you sure? God, are you sure? God, are you sure you're going to do this? Are you able to do this, Lord? Because we tend to do that. We tend to do that in the middle of the process. We tend to do that. I want to preach to real Christians today. I want to preach to real people that have their ups and downs. I don't want to preach to no Pharisees. No, I want to preach to real people today. Because I'm the first one that I'm here standing here today. Before I could start pointing and preaching to others, this message has to come from me first. And I'm the first one that I could say to you, yes, it happens. In the middle of that process, from point A to point B, you question, Lord, are you sure? Lord, are you able to do this? Lord, was it really you who spoke this word on me, Lord? Especially when you're waiting for like years for it and you get a little bit, I don't want to jump ahead too much, but you get a little bit frustrated, a little angry, because it happens, right? It happens because you just want to see that promise come through, and you're just like, 10 years pass, 15 years pass, 20 years pass, and nothing is happening. But that's where, man. But that's where you have to start. You have to believe. You have to encourage yourself. And you have to say, if God said it, it will be. Because I just got to believe it. That's where faith is all about. That's what faith is all about. Faith without action is what? It's all good when you have it, you know. It's all good when it comes to you right away. Lord, you are great. Lord, you are awesome. Lord, you are mighty. But when you're waiting for some time, you're gonna be you're gonna start over here in the front, and you're gonna work your way to the back. Because you get so frustrated. Is it worth being a Christian? Is it worth serving him when I've been waiting for so long for something that I feel like is never going to happen? When you say that, when you speak that way, you're saying to God, you're a liar. Pinch your neighbor and say, oh, that was a good one. Yes, yes. The moment you start to think those questions, the moments you start to think those thoughts, and the moment you start to question God, is the moment that you say, Lord, you are a liar. When the Bible says that he is not a liar. Amen? He's not. But could you imagine what Mary and Martha thought? What were their thoughts towards Jesus? Can you place yourself in their shoes at that moment? I'm burying my brother. I'm putting him in a tomb. And you got to see that Jesus and this family were very close. He loved this family. And they placed their trust in Jesus. That's why they sent word to him. Because they believed that the moment they sent word to him, he was going to come and heal their brother. But now, they're burying their brother because they were believing in a word that he said that came out of his mouth that said that that sickness he wouldn't see death from that sickness. But now they're burying their brother. Can you imagine how frustrated they were with Jesus? How angry they were with Jesus? Can you? Put yourself in that position. Waiting for that promise, waiting for that answer, waiting for God to do something in your situation, and nothing comes? That's tough. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, it says, "Not God is not human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill?" This is a question that he's asking. Does he not act when he speaks, church? Does he not fulfill when he speaks it? He's not a liar, and he will never be a liar. He will never be a liar. Psalms 119, verse 160, it says, "All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal." Trust in God, because he is bound by his word. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to stand by that word. Amen? God's words will never return empty. The moment he releases that word, it will never be returned empty. Isaiah 55:11, it says, So is my word that goes out from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it out. When God speaks a word or releases a promise, it is to fulfill his desire and achieve his purpose and will for your life. Did you hear that? It is not to achieve your desires, and it's not to achieve your will. It is always to achieve God's desires and God's will. God's will and desire trumps all of your desires and wills. When God releases a word, it's like he's placing an investment over your life. Right? Us as preachers, we tend to say that God is going to deposit a word, right? We use that word, deposit. Right? We're going to deposit our work in banking, and we use it. I don't even know why I'm using this word. Right? Deposit, withdrawals, and things like that, right? And investments, right? When you want to deposit something, when you invest in something, you are looking for a what? A return. You're looking for a return. And when God deposits a word over you and a promise, he's not looking to invest in something that is going to flop. He's not in the business of investing in stuff that's going to flop. He's in the business of investing in something that he's going to receive something in return. What is it that he's going to receive in return? That when it happens, you can open your mouth and give him the glory. Yes. That when it happens, it wasn't your will that was accomplished. It was his will. Amen. That when it happens, it wasn't your desire. It was his desire. That's his return. That's what he's looking for. So that when he speaks, that word is not going to come back empty. It's going to come back with a report and saying, "Lord, your child believed to the end." And they're opening their mouth to glorify you, to give you the glory and give you the honor, Lord. God's word is active. It is active. It's always in action. It's always active. The moment that he releases the word, it's alive and active. It's working to achieve its purpose. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active." The moment that he releases it from point A to point B, it's working. It's alive. It's like the moment I just imagine this, right? It's like I like to watch, as a kid, I love to watch cartoons. And I could just imagine that the moment God speaks a word, it's like a bubble. You know those bubbles, right? It's like a bubble. And then all of a sudden, that bubble has two legs. It's crazy, right? Right? The bubble. Two legs pop out. And then two hands pop out. Because that word now is alive. I'm trying to use it as the simplest term, right? But yes, yeah, trying to go deep, right? Trying to go deep. It's a word that comes out, and then it, two legs start to come out, and two hands. And depending how many words he spits out, it's an army of words. And it starts, and then, okay, Lord, he commanded this word. Now I am commanded to be alive and active. Now I have to start working in the favor and by the command of his word, I have to start working for the Lord. Amen. It's alive. Like the Frankenstein, it's alive. Right? His word is alive. His word is active. It's always moving. You may not see it, but it is. It's moving. It's active to get you from point A to point B. It's alive. It's active because it doesn't want to come back with a bad report. It wants to submit to the will of God. Even his own words need to submit to him. His own words need to submit to him. That if it says I need to, in the beginning he said, let there be light, and there was
light.
Come on. Because when he speaks, he has to stand by his word. It's alive. Look at your neighbor and say, the word is alive. It's active. Do it again. The word is alive. It's active. It's on the move. You may not see it, but it's on the move. It's working. Just like that song says in Wavemaker, it says, you may not see it, but it's something is happening, right? Something is happening in your favor, church. But you gotta what? Believe. That's a side note. Which words are you allowing to push you in the middle of your journey? Which words are you allowing to push you in the middle of your journey? Are you trusting God's word to push you? Like God's word is like gasoline to a car that makes the car move. Is that shifting you? Is that pushing you in your journey? Are you allowing those promises of God's word to push you? Or are you allowing? Be careful who you surround yourself with. Look, I love you. I love you. Thank you. Thank you. But if you cannot align, nor you can encourage me on my journey, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to treat you from afar. I tell this to Powerhouse all the time. Not everyone can be a part of their journey. Not everyone can be in their inner circle. Not everyone can be in their dreams and in their promises. Not everyone can be a part of that. You have to be very selective, very careful in who you allow in your inner circle. Because the moment Joseph released that word, what did his brothers do? Be careful in who you allow in your inner circle. Who is surrounded? Allow people that will speak life over you. Those are the people that you need in your circle. Proverbs 18:21, a lot of us know this verse. Proverbs 18:21, it says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Surround yourself with people that will speak life over you in your journey. And stay away from the ones that will speak poison over you. I'll show you this as an example. Verses 37 and 33 and 37 of chapter 11 of John. It says, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews at this time many of the Jews, the Jerusalem, and where Lazarus and where Mary and Martha were, it was only about a 2-mile span. So many of the Jews, when they heard that Lazarus passed away, many of them, the Bible says many of them came to mourn with them. So we see it here. We see that Jesus said, when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. That verse, those are people that you need, that are going to weep with you, that are going to pray with you, that are going to encourage you, that when you're going through the toughest moment, when you're going through moments that you're questioning your faith, that there will be the ones that will lift you out of your questioning your faith. And then 34, it says, where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. Those were the ones that were weeping with them, right? You see, they were encouraging how, look, you see how Jesus loved Lazarus, how they loved him, that he's weeping over them. But then 37, it says, but some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? These are the type of people you need to be afraid of and push them. Look, I love you. But I have to treat you from afar. Because if you're not going to help me, nor elevate me, or encourage me, but all you're going to do is just push me down. All you're going to do is just put more questions in my head. I have enough questions. I'm a little, and I got, and I don't need nobody else making it more complicated for me. No, I make it complicated for myself at times. Amen. Right? We make it really complicated for us that I don't need nobody else to make it complicated for me. I just need you to just, if you can help me, clear up my thoughts. That's who I need. That's who I need in my circle. Amen? And again, I'm going to say it again. I love you. Amen. Stay out of God's way. I love you. Stay out of his way. Don't be like Sarah that threw a wrench in his plans because of this famous word. I know you're gonna like, you're gonna love this word, because she was in what? Impatient. Nobody wants to talk about being patient when you're waiting for 10 or 12 years. Man, that boils me when I'm waiting for something for so long, and then somebody just comes along and says, don't worry about it, Sammy, just be patient. God's gonna come through, just be patient. That's like putting like salt in the wound, right? Like, just be patient. Don't worry about it. And Sarah was very impatient that she was like, you know what? She threw a wrench. She thought she threw a wrench in God's plan. She thought that maybe if I could help God and I could speed up the process. God don't need your help. He don't need your help. Remember, he's already at the end. Yeah. We're the ones who need to catch up to him. Yeah. He's already at the end, meaning that everything that he said was going to do, that he was going to say, he was going to do, it's already finished. Yeah. It's already done. It's just us that need to catch up to him. Pero Sarah, I said that in Spanish, pero Sarah. Sarah thought, oh, I could help God speed up the process. Listen, your promises and whatever God speaks over you and your promises can't be thrown into a microwave. Especially the days that, we're living. Look, I work in customer service. And everybody, when they come in through those doors, they want it now. I want it now. And I want it this way. Wherever you go. And we have the audacity to treat God the same way. Ouch, that one hurt, right? We have the audacity to treat God the same way. God, I want it now. And I want it this way. God, tell me how I could do what I can do to help you. What I can do to speed up this process. Throwing our promises and his words and his promises into a microwave. I don't know about you, but when my wife is for Thanksgiving, oh, thank God, it's almost around the corner. Amen. Thanksgiving. For Thanksgiving, my wife gets into the kitchen. She's cooking. She's getting down in the kitchen. Again, as you can see, my body shows it that she gets down in the kitchen. And I'm not in the kitchen bothering her. I'm letting her take her time. Smart, right? Why? Because I know that while she's cooking, needs to take time. While she's cooking, needs to marinate. While she's cooking, needs to be like, because she's cooking it with love. From point A to point B, that's what God is doing. While he's cooking for you, it needs to marinate. While he's cooking for you, he's cooking it with love. Because he knows that if he serves it to you too early, you're going to mess it up. If he serves it to you too early, you're not really going to appreciate it. So he needs to just take his time. She's taking his time. She takes her time in the kitchen for Thanksgiving. And when she serves that meal for us as a family, I'm just sitting there enjoying the turkey, enjoying the arroz con habichuela, whatever it is, the rice and beans. I'm enjoying it, not only because it tastes good, but because I know she put all of herself into that meal. I'm enjoying it. Imagine for Thanksgiving, somebody serves you a two TV dinners and just throws it to you because they popped it in the microwave and throws it to you on the table. Here, eat this. Are you really going to enjoy it? I mean, if you're hungry, you'll enjoy the extra large hungry men, whatever those TV. Before I was married, I had a lot of those. But I'm blessed now that I don't have to eat those TV dinners. Yes, I'll barely stay. Right? But that's what God is doing. He wants you to appreciate what he's doing. Because what he's doing it out of love. You see it and you're like frustrating. It's frustrating because it's taking so long. But what he's doing is doing it out of love. Because he loves you so much that he can't give it to you now because you're not ready for it. You're not. Maybe that's the question that you have to ask yourself. Instead of asking God the questions, ask yourself that question. Lord, is this taking so long because maybe I'm not ready for it? Maybe I need to be a little bit marinated in the process. Because if I take it now, I'm just going to mess it up. If I take it now, if I try to help you or try to speed up the process, I'm just going to cause more headaches for myself and more problems for myself. Amen? Amen. So again, stay out of God's way and let him do what he said he's going to do. Because he stands by his word and he watches over his word. He watches over it. He's monitoring the very words that come out of his mouth. Jeremiah 1:12, it says it. Chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled." I bet you've never seen it that way before, right? He is supervising the very words that come out of his mouth. Sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we don't supervise the very words that come out of our mouths. Because sometimes, man, words are powerful. And the Lord put this in my heart when I was prepping this message. A lot of you, many that are sitting in churches today, not just Freedom, but in churches in a whole, are being pushed by the hurtful words that were spoken over their lives. Because somebody in their past didn't know how to supervise the words that came out of their mouth. In church for years, but yet they're still hurt. Because they had a father that called them a loser. A father that never believed in them. A mother that said that they will never amount to nothing. A teacher that said, those dreams are never going to happen. Because they didn't know how to measure, or they didn't know how to supervise the words that came out of their mouth. But God is not like that. That when he spoke a promise over you, and he spoke a word over you, he's supervising to make sure that word is fulfilled. God himself stands over and watches over his own word, making sure it is fulfilled. That's powerful, church. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. God will stand by his word. When Jesus got there, right? He knew why he spoke in the beginning. He said that this sickness will not end in death. So because he knew he said that, he had to stand by his what? His word. That when he got to the tomb, I'm going to ask you guys to stand. When he got to the tomb, he was bound by his word. That even though that he saw Lazarus in the tomb for 4 days, he was in there. With his authority, he said to move the stone. I came here today to tell you today that maybe you have placed your promises and you have placed the words that God has given you because it's taken so long and you've gotten frustrated. You've placed them in a tomb. But God today wants to declare over your life that today that tomb is going to be removed because he wants to remind you that he stands by his word and that if he released it, it's going to happen. And when he releases, because the Bible says, hear me, church, the Bible says that when they removed the stone, he spoke words again. He spoke words of life. And God wants to speak words of life over your promise. Words of life over your children. Words of life over sickness. Words of life. Whatever is hindering you. If God promised you health, that health is coming. If God promised you an increase, that increase is coming. But you have to believe in it. That the Bible says that he spoke and he's called Lazarus, come out. Oh, I don't think you believe that. There was too few. Whatever is your Lazarus, whatever your Lazarus is, your Lazarus may be your dream. Lazarus may be your promise. Lazarus may be whatever the Lord spoke over you. God is telling that Lazarus to come out. And look at what's going to happen. Look at what's going to happen. When he calls, he's calling it out. And look at what's going to happen. Because of the authority of his word. The Bible says that God, Jesus had authority from heaven. Oh, I got to read it. I don't want to just say it. I got to read it. Matthew 28:18 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority from heaven and earth has been given to me. So he put that authority in action. And God is trying to put that authority in action in your dreams again. He's trying to put that authority in action again over your promises. And he's saying to come out of the tomb. Oh my God. And this is what's going to happen. The tomb is going to be removed. Jesus is calling out of those calling those promises to come out of the tomb. And it's going to start jumping. And when it's going to start jumping, it's going to start jumping to you. I can't jump. But it's going to come to you. And it's going to take you from point A to point B. Because what he said, it's going to happen. Andy, your ranch is going to happen. It's going to happen. He's trying to remind you, just believe. It's going to happen. Whatever it is, if you've been praying over your children, they will be saved. It's going to happen. He's going to call them out, and they're going to jump to you. And when they jump, he's going to say, remove all the wrappings that they have over them. Oh, God. Your dreams will be fulfilled. Your purpose will be fulfilled. Whatever it is, it will be fulfilled, church. But you gotta believe in him. Don't question his word. Stand in agreement with his word. Because he stands by his word. He's not a man to lie. If he said it, it will be so. The enemy will throw many in the middle of your journey. It's for you to question. But no matter what the enemy throws, I will continue to stand firm. I will continue to declare the word of the Lord over my life, and that it will push me till I see the glory of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. He stands by his word, church. Go ahead, worship team. Go ahead. I want you to just lift up your hands.